The Dropout Diaries. The Dropout Diaries.
So we're talking about Gordon Smith, this remarkable chef who made it big without formal culinary training.
Yeah, a real unconventional chef, as the title says. It really makes you question the, you know, the traditional routes to success in fields like the culinary arts. I'm curious to unpack how he did it.
Exactly. The description mentions his self-taught skills and, well, relentless determination, which honestly sounds essential in such a competitive field. I mean, culinary arts is demanding, right?
Absolutely. The Wikipedia entry highlights how much goes into it, the history, the tools and techniques, the sheer breadth of knowledge, like food science and nutrition. It's a lot.
It is. And to navigate all that without the structured guidance of a culinary school, it's pretty impressive.
Totally. So, like, how does someone become a world-renowned chef outside of that traditional path? What are the alternative learning strategies, and how are they validated in a, you know, a profession that often emphasizes credentials?
Good question. The input text mentions autodidacticism, which, if you think about it, has been around for centuries. Think of, like, historical figures who mastered complex subjects without formal schooling.
Right, right. But how does that translate to a modern, highly specialized field like the culinary arts? The Wikipedia article mentions the evolution of the field, how chefs initially served royalty, then moved to inns and hotels, which eventually led to the, you know, formalization of culinary schools. Mm-hmm. So, like, where does self-teaching fit in now?
Well, that's what's so intriguing about Gordon Smith's story. He's essentially challenging those established norms. It speaks to a broader trend we're seeing where self-directed learning is gaining traction even in traditionally credential-focused fields.
Yeah? So, like, is culinary school becoming less important?
Not necessarily. It's more that alternative paths are becoming more visible and, well, more viable. I think what's key is to understand how someone like Jordan Smith acquired the necessary skills and knowledge outside of a formal setting. What were his learning strategies, his resources, his mentors, maybe, and how did he gain credibility in the industry?
The input text on autodidacticism talks about different learning techniques, reading, watching videos, online resources. Did Gordon Smith leverage those, or did he, like, forge a completely unique path? And how did he translate those self-taught skills into, you know, tangible success?
That's what I'm eager to delve into. How did he build a reputation? How did he get his foot in the door? How did he convince others to trust his expertise despite not having a formal degree? It's a fascinating case study in the power of self-directed learning, and it raises some interesting questions about the future of education and career development, especially in fields like the culinary arts.
Definitely. And, you know, it's inspiring, too. It shows that passion and determination can sometimes outweigh formal credentials. I'm really looking forward to exploring this further. Let's dive in.
So picking up on this idea of Gordon Smith challenging established norms, it really does make you think about the evolving landscape of education, especially in specialized fields like culinary arts. It's like, how much weight do formal credentials really hold these days?
Yeah, and the input text touches on this, talking about autodidacticism, self-directed learning, even pedagogy. It's a whole other world of learning outside of institutions, right?
Right. And it's not entirely new, is it? The text mentions historical figures mastering complex subjects without formal schooling. So it's like this ancient practice is finding new life in the modern world.
Exactly. But I'm curious, how does someone like Gordon Smith, a chef, translate self-teaching into, like, tangible success in a field that's traditionally so credential-focused?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? The input text talks about different learning techniques, reading, watching videos, online resources. Did he use those? Or was it something completely different?
And how did he gain credibility? I mean, the culinary world can be pretty old school in its thinking, no?
Yeah. It's a fascinating case study, really. How do you convince the gatekeepers, the established chefs, the restaurant owners to trust your expertise when you don't have the official piece of paper? It challenges the very notion of what qualifies someone as an expert.
Absolutely. It reminds me of what the text says about Ivan Illich and his critique of institutionalized learning. Like, is the traditional model becoming obsolete?
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but it's definitely being challenged. And I think that's a good thing. It opens up opportunities for people who might not fit into the traditional mold, you know? People like Gordon Smith.
For sure. And the input text gives examples, right? People like Henry Ford, Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, all incredibly successful in their fields and largely self-taught in many aspects.
Yeah.
Exactly. It speaks to this broader shift we're seeing where passion and self-directed learning can sometimes be just as valuable, if not more so, than a formal degree, especially in rapidly evolving fields. It makes you wonder what the future of education will look like.
It does, and I think Gordon Smith's story is a perfect example of that. It's pretty inspiring, actually. It shows that there's more than one way to reach the top.
So this whole idea of autodidacticism, it's more nuanced than I initially thought. It's not just about, you know, teaching yourself. It's a whole philosophy, a way of approaching learning.
Yeah, like what the input text mentions about Ibn Tufayl's philosophical novel. That's a pretty deep dive into self-discovery and learning outside formal structures.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like this idea has been around for centuries, influencing thinkers and movements across cultures. From Islamic philosophy to Renaissance humanism, even the Enlightenment, it's a pretty impressive legacy.
It is. The input text also talks about how autodidacticism has been crucial for marginalized communities, like Black Americans during slavery and after. It was a way to empower themselves to gain knowledge that was systematically denied to them.
That's a powerful point. It highlights how self-directed learning can be a tool for social change, for breaking down barriers. It's not just about individual growth. It's about, like, societal transformation.
Totally. And it's not limited to just, you know, theoretical subjects. The text mentions architecture with examples like Tadao Ando and Frank Lloyd Wright. These are people who shaped the physical world around us, and they did it largely through self-teaching.
It's fascinating, right? And it raises questions about, like, the very definition of expertise. Who gets to decide who's qualified? Does a piece of paper really define your abilities?
Well, the input text touches on that, particularly in architecture. There are these legal battles, you know, about who can call themselves an architect. It's this tension between established institutions and individuals forging their own paths.
Yeah, it's like the gatekeepers versus the innovators. And it makes you wonder if those established structures are always serving us well or if they're sometimes holding us back.
That's a good point. The text also brings up the idea that all architects, even those with formal training, need to be autodidacts to some extent. The field is constantly evolving, so you have to keep learning, adapting, pushing yourself.
Right. So even within traditional systems, self-directed learning is becoming more and more essential. It's not either or, it's both and. You need the foundation, but you also need the drive to keep growing, to like explore beyond the curriculum.
Absolutely. And, you know, the input text points to some interesting predictors of self-directed learning, like the personality trait of openness. It suggests that certain individuals are more inclined towards this type of learning.
That makes sense. You have to be curious, willing to experiment, comfortable with not always knowing the answers.
Exactly. And the future of self-directed learning seems pretty bright with things like online courses and distance learning programs becoming more accessible. It's democratizing knowledge, making it available to anyone with the motivation to learn.
It is. And that's pretty exciting. It empowers individuals to take control of their own education, to pursue their passions, to like shape their own futures. It's a powerful tool for personal and societal growth.
Mm. Definitely. And stories like Gordon Smith's, the chef we discussed earlier, really embody that. It's a testament to the power of self-belief, hard work, and the courage to forge your own path.
So reflecting on this deep dive into autodidacticism, it's striking how multifaceted it is. We started with Gordon Smith, this self-taught chef, and ended up exploring centuries of philosophical thought, social movements, and, well, the very nature of expertise.
Yeah, it's a much bigger concept than I initially realized. It's not just about, you know, learning a skill on your own. It's about taking ownership of your education, challenging established norms, and forging your own path.
Exactly. The input text, with its examples from Islamic philosophy to Renaissance humanism, really highlights that historical depth, doesn't it?
It does. And it's fascinating how autodidacticism has been used by marginalized communities like Black Americans during and after slavery, as a tool for empowerment, that really resonated with me.
Me too. It shows how self-directed learning can be a force for social change, not just individual advancement. And then there's the architectural examples like Tadao Ando and Frank Lloyd Wright shaping the world around us without, you know, always following conventional paths.
Yeah. And the legal battles over who can call themselves an architect, that's a whole other layer, highlighting this tension between established institutions and individual innovators. It's like the gatekeepers versus the disruptors.
Right. And it makes you question the very definition of expertise. Does a piece of paper really determine who's qualified? Or is it like demonstrated skill, passion, a willingness to keep learning?
The input text suggests it's more nuanced than that. Even formally trained architects need to be autodidacts to some extent because the field is constantly evolving. So it's not either or, it's both slash and.
Exactly. And the predictors of self-directed learning, like the personality trait of openness, that's interesting. It suggests that some people are just more inclined towards this type of learning, right?
Right. You have to be curious, comfortable with uncertainty, willing to like experiment and maybe even fail sometimes. It's not always easy.
Definitely not. But the future of self-directed learning seems promising, with online courses and distance learning making knowledge more accessible than ever. It's democratizing education in a way.
It is. And stories like Gordon Smith's The Unconventional Chef really embody that spirit. It's inspiring to see how passion, hard work, and a belief in yourself can lead to success, even outside the traditional system. Thanks for joining me on this exploration of autodidacticism. Until next time.